Morning, everyone, and thank all of you for being here. We're so thankful we have a visitor or two with us. Pray that you'll come back each and every chance you get. We ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. I don't want you to take my word. I never want you to take any man's word, only the Word of God, which, of course, is the Bible. Now, I was saddened to learn this week of the death of one of our congregation's most valuable members, someone else. His passing has left a void, and it's difficult to fill. For years now, someone else was relied on to do most of the work in the congregation, but now that he's gone, we're not sure what will happen. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, or a gospel meeting to attend, we could always respond with, "Let someone else do it." He was always there to fill a financial need, encourage a person who was struggling, to meet the duties of the assembly. Everyone just assumed that someone else would send the cards, lead the prayers, and select the songs or prepare the communion. We have too much to do to learn all these things for ourselves. Let someone else do it has been the thinking. But now that someone else is gone, who will do his part? We all too easily assume that the church's growth is another person's responsibility, convinced that God does not expect us to learn to contribute if where we are able. Nothing could be further from the truth. Growth in the body comes by what every joint supplies, Ephesians 4:6. No one member can do all the work for the body, nor should he or she try. While God has placed limits on how we may serve, he has not confined service to a few members. Everyone can help in some way using their talent and abilities to glorify God. Attendance alone is a responsibility we all share. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25 tells us, "And let us consider one another, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together." Many churches have lost their zeal, and because saints yielded to the mentality that the work of the church is the responsibility of someone else. That is a lie. You are responsible for doing your part in contributing to the growth of the body. To rely on someone else to do all the work does nothing but leave no one to serve God. There's a passage of Scripture that unfortunately has been used by many in the past, and even today, to teach the church has the right and responsibility to use its benevolent funds in the care of those who are not members of the body of Christ. But it is sad that in the misuse of this passage, the wonderful lessons that it does teach have been overlooked. This passage I'm talking about is Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10, and I'd like for you all to turn with me, if you would, please, and we'll read this together. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. As always, I'll be reading from the King James. The passage says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This passage, brethren, is talking about individual responsibility. It's talking about individual opportunity. We preachers do a lot of talking about being steadfast in the service of Christ, about always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I think a lot of times, good brethren want to do these things, but I'm not sure they know how to go about it. What can I, as a very ordinary individual, do to help the cause of Christ? How can I be about abounding in the work of the Lord? Well, Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10 gives us a list of just those kinds of things. Now, I want you to hold your place in Galatians 6 because we'll be coming back from time to time through the service. If we find ourselves wondering, what can I do? Let's just think about Galatians 6 and be busy following Paul's suggestions here. Let's look at the first one. I can work to restore an erring brother or sister in Christ. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now this may not be the easiest one to begin with, but it's a work that must be done. Every one of us here can think of a brother or sister in Christ right now who is unfaithful, caught up in sin, and whatever nature it might be, and be definitely in danger of eternal damnation if Jesus were to return, because they're just not living the way they ought to be living. And I tell you what, I personally find talking to someone who has strayed to be the most difficult thing that I do. It's never easy to tell someone who knows better that they know better, and that they need to repent and return to faithful service of the Lord. But when you consider the alternative, the eternal damnation, then whatever discomfort that I might feel in doing it pales by comparison. This particular work must be done in the spirit of meekness, realizing that I too am just as subject to temptation as they are. To approach an erring brother or sister in Christ with a holier-than-thou attitude is to ask for resentment and failure in my efforts. Look with me at James chapter 5, if you would. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verses 19 and 20. James wrote these words, beginning in verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When approached with the right spirit, any honest person will appreciate having his faults pointed out. Now, he or she may not appreciate it right at the moment, but in the quiet times of contemplation, they will. We can all have a hand in saving a soul from death, so when we wonder, what can I do to help the cause of Christ, this is one thing that we can do. Think of a brother or sister lost in sin, lost in their unfaithfulness, and pick up the phone and call them. Or get in the car and go visit them. Or pick up the phone and make an appointment and then get in the car and go visit them. In doing so, we'll be helping them and we'll be helping ourselves. Something else that I can do in the service of the Lord is found in verse 2 of Galatians 6. Turn back with me. Verse 2 of Galatians 6. Paul wrote, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." None of us lives to himself. As the old saying goes, no man is an island. What a blessing it is to help a brother or sister bear their burdens. And these would be burdens of all kinds, whether spiritual or secular, that we find ourselves subject from time to time. There can be the burden of sin. Perhaps a brother struggling with a particular temptation. we can help. It may be the burden of sorrow, and while we might not be able to alleviate it, can we not, by our concern, make it a little easier to bear? It may be a burden of care. Have you ever noticed how problems and concerns always seem to be magnified if we're facing them alone? Paul wrote in Philippians 2:4, he said, "Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others." I can help my brother with this burden. Sometimes as little as a thing is a smile, maybe a compliment, an expression of appreciation, little things that can lift a great burden from the heart and the mind of a friend. Just a simple thing can so often tell another that we care about them. The passage in Galatians talked about so fulfill the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. I believe that the law of Christ that Paul was talking about is found in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Let's read that together, please. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus is speaking here, and he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Brethren, when I want to know what I can do to be busy in the work of the Lord, think of Galatians 6 and look for a burden to help a brother or sister bear. Something else I can do to help the cause of Christ is to honestly face the facts about myself. If you would, go back to Galatians 6 with me, please. Verse 3. "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." We've all heard of the caricature of the teenager who thinks he knows everything about everything that is worth knowing. If he does, he's not alone. I've talked to many college students who get a little bit of higher education under their belt and they're ready to deny the existence of God and call everything they've been taught before of a spiritual nature into question. Why do they do that? Because it is just not intellectual enough for them anymore. I'm reminded of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 when he wrote this about this very same thing. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Let's read it together. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Paul says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." He says they are not wise. I believe that Paul is telling us we can help the cause of Christ greatly by making a realistic appraisal of our own abilities and then acting accordingly. Having made such an appraisal, the fourth point follows right along and is pointed out in verses 4 and 5 of Galatians 6. Let's go back and read that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. "But every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Whatever my abilities are, I can serve faithfully in those capacities. I can study and work to become a better teacher, a better song leader, a better exhorter or proclaimer of the word, a better deacon or a better elder or a better personal worker and visitor. There is a burden that we may share, brethren, but there is another burden that each must bear for himself. No one can do my praying. No one can do my singing, my giving, my assembling, my teaching, my exhorting, or my visiting. No one can do that but me. I must discharge my individual responsibilities by myself, which, by the way, correspond directly to the abilities that God has given me. Every one of us has something we can do. Whatever we can do in the service of the Lord is important and vital to the functioning of this congregation. Surely we're all aware of Paul's teachings found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 21. And I want all of us to read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 through 21 when we get there. Paul wrote in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 12, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again to the head or to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Brethren, there is one body composed of many members. Every part of the body is necessary to completion of the whole." Individuals, understand this now. Individuals make up the church, not congregations. Individuals, not congregations. We all have a part to play, and we must serve faithfully in our own capacities. Now let's go to verse 6 of Galatians 6. Verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6. Paul wrote, "Let him that taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth all good things." If I'm wondering what I can do to help the cause of Christ, I may very well be able to help and support some brother somewhere who is preaching the word, either at home or abroad. I sometimes think that we don't realize how important our contribution is. I know we don't get a whole lot of letters here. I don't think Charlie can tell us, but I don't think we get a whole lot of letters here. But when I was at Manslick Road, we got letters upon letters from individuals who are willing to go preach in a place, preach the word in a place, and they need financial support to do it. And of course, we're limited in our ability to help them by the amount of money that is available. And we do help. We do help. We help some go overseas, such as Brother Ron Halbrook, who goes to Manila. We help him. It may be that some are able to help on a personal basis. Now, in this era of communicating unto him that teaches in all good things, we are mistaken if we limit that solely to financial support. Maybe you're not in a position to help financially. But again, from personal experiences, I can tell you how uplifting it is to receive a letter of encouragement from a brother or sister who has heard of the work you're doing and the sacrifices you are making to do the work. The promise of prayers on your behalf has a tremendous help to the one who is teaching. You see, there are all kinds of ways that we can be of service to the Lord. Now, when I want to know how I can be of help in the service of the Lord, I can realize that reaping time is coming. Let's go back to Galatians 6 and look at verses 7 and 8. Reaping time is coming. Paul says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And you know something, brethren? I may deceive my wife. I may fool my neighbors. I may even evade the officers of the law. But God has solemnly warned me that I cannot fool him. The truth is clear. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we fully realize the simple, powerful truth of this passage, it will have a profound influence upon our every action. A lot of problems and a lot of just plain not doing anything will be avoided if I am conscious that reaping time is surely coming. Instead of just sitting around and wondering what I can do, I will see to it that I am busy sowing the things of the Spirit on a daily basis. And when I'm wondering what I can do and help in the service of the Lord, I can keep on keeping on. Look at verse 9 of Galatians 6. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's been said that the most effective tool in the devil's workshop is discouragement. It's hard to keep on when you're bitten by the one who you have failed, or when you're misrepresented and misunderstood, and when you can see no visible results of your efforts and your labor. That's hard, believe me, I know. But God promised, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due seasons we shall reap if we faint not. And finally, verse 10 of Galatians 6. I can do good towards all men. Paul wrote, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Think about it. The use of my car, my phone, or personal service in time of sickness or other distresses. Just my care and concern may be the factor that causes my neighbor to take time to investigate the gospel. Remember the song that says, we're the only Bible the wicked world will read? Well, that's true. The only gospel some folks will read is the gospel according to you and me, taught by our conduct. I have a special responsibility to do good to them that are of the household of faith. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. What can I, as one very ordinary individual, do to further the cause of Christ? There are many other things, but this one passage, Galatians 6 verses 1 through 10, points the way for me to help my erring brother, to help my discouraged brother, to help myself, my home congregation, my preaching and teaching brothers, and the lost anywhere in the world, and my neighbor. That's what Galatians 6, 1 through 10 teaches. I reckon that should always give us something to do in the work of the Lord. You know, Moses issued this stern warning to the Israelites in Numbers 32:23, when he said, But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Moses stated a principle that is still true today. Sin comes out. One way or another, if we remain in sin, it has a way of telling on us, even after death. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24, he said, some men's sin are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. So after you're dead, your sins will follow you. One of the reasons our sins find us out is because God is all-knowing. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good, Proverbs 15:3 tells us. There's nothing we can do that His omniscient eye does not see, which should dissuade us from believing that we can sin without ever being caught. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 9 and verse 7. God can tell if we're forsaking the assembly or if we're truly unable to attend. He sees if we're sincerely fighting against the fleshly lusts which war against our soul, or if we have feet that are swift in running to the evil. So, brethren, instead of looking for ways to keep sins from others, our sins, let us be wise and submit to the one who will judge us. Proverbs 28:13 says, "For he who covers his sins will not prosper, for whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Now is a good time to take care of that. Take care of the sins in your life. Let me tell you, if you're not a Christian, there's only one way you can become a Christian. You must repent of your sins. You must confess Jesus as the Son of God, because He most surely is. And then you must be baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of your sins. Then you'll come up out of that water a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. And if this is the day that Jesus comes back, we'll all go home together. Perhaps you've been an unfaithful Christian by forsaking the assembly, or maybe you sin in a public manner that others are aware of. You can take care of this morning after repenting to God, and then come forward, let the brethren know you have repented, and let us pray for you and pray with you. Then you'll become be a member in good standing one more time. Brethren and friends, don't put it off. Don't leave this building in an unsaved manner. You never know when Jesus is coming back. This today may be the day. Eternity is just a breath away. Think of that. Eternity is just a breath away. We can help anyone in any way make their life right with God. Would you please come now as we stand and as we sing?